you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2a. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. If you were tuned in yesterday, I began playing a Moody Broadcasting special titled When Leaders Fall, Finding Peace as You Pick Up the Pieces, and it's a 50-minute feature, so you heard parts 1 and 2 yesterday. Today we'll conclude with parts 3 and 4, and both yesterday and today's broadcast are archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. So if you missed a portion or want to re-listen, today and yesterday's broadcast can be accessed anytime. Today we'll learn about not worshiping the messenger, that all worship should only go to God, the importance of having accountability partners, and I want you all to think of yourselves as leaders. You are leading someone, somewhere, some way, somehow, through your actions, words, attitudes, and lifestyles. So yesterday and today's topic is just not for those leaders that we look up to, but let's take to heart that we all lead others in certain ways, and our actions do in fact matter.
How fares it with your family? Do you sing in the choir and sin in the chamber? Are you a saint abroad and a devil at home? For shame! What we are at home, that we are indeed. Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
You're listening to a special broadcast from Moody Radio, When Leaders Fall, Finding Peace as You Pick Up the Pieces. Our roundtable discussion features Gary Chapman, Josh McDowell, Ed Stetzer, Jan Silvius, Winfred Neely, Mark Jobe, and Michael Rydelnik. Guiding our conversation is Moody Radio's John Gager.
We're glad to mention an online toolkit for anybody wanting to explore this conversation further. It's at www.whenleadersfall.org. We've compiled some great articles, blogs, books, and podcasts for you to pursue, all carefully vetted by the Moody Radio team. And again, it's free at www.whenleadersfall.org. You know, there's no point in talking about and around the leadership failures that we've seen without coming to this question: what can we learn from all this? What insights can we gain? Let's pick up right there with Josh McDowell.
It can happen to anyone. Every man, every woman has the potential of moral failure. And if you don't realize that, you're probably so much more prone to fail. It's when you realize, I need to be careful, that will take precautions.
Let's hear from Dr. Winfred Neely on this.
I think it should humble us. It should remind us that all of us potentially can do the same thing. I think it should lead us to greater diligence, to more prayer. We should also be praying for the families of these leaders, their husbands, their wives, their children. And I think we ought to stop condemning them so much in public. Enough already. Let's start praying for their restoration. This is one of the things that strikes me, that we rarely ever hear about the restoration of these fallen leaders. So-and-so blew it. Okay, they did. What is the path of discipline and restoration? Are they submitting to discipline and restoration? Are they in some kind of process? Who's praying for their wives? Who's walking with their children? Who's shepherding them through this process? Someone asked G.K. Chesterton once, what's wrong with the world? They were looking for this long dissertation. You know what he said? I am. And the person who scares me the most is me. And I think once we get to that place and realize that all of us have the propensity to go out and do something stupid that can mess our lives up, in terms of consequences for us and our children scares the living daylights out of me. And that ought to keep us on our face before God.
So much great wisdom here. Appreciate the responses of all of our roundtable team members. What would you say are the lessons that maybe average Christians should take away from the failures that we're seeing? Dr. Chapman.
It's got to take heed. You know, take heed lest you fall. Certainly we're disappointed. Certainly we may feel angry at the person, and we may have all kind of emotions. But with those emotions, that's the challenge of the Galatians 6:1 passage, is that, you know, be careful yourself that you don't fall into the same temptation. Take heed. And I think the other thing is to recognize that leaders are human, and humans do fail. So don't worship the leader, because if you're worshiping the leader, the messenger, rather than worshiping God, and then the messenger falls, you know, you're in real deep trouble emotionally and spiritually. So just recognize that those who deliver the word of God are messengers of God. They're not God. Keep your eyes on God and focus on Him and not on the leader.
A lot of people have been pretty hurt by some recent failures that they've seen online, read about, heard about otherwise. There are feelings of hurt and betrayal by leaders that we've loved, and they've let us down. What are we to do with those feelings? Let's ask this question of Josh.
Well, I have those feelings. I have felt that way so often. And one, I think it should cause us to examine our own life. What am I doing? How am I doing spiritually, morally, etc.? Have I got good, healthy barriers, boundaries built into my life and relationships? And then I think we all need other people we can share these feelings with, that love us, can minister to us, and will listen to them. Go to a deep friend you trust and share it with them, and let them minister to you.
Well, I feel that. So I, in some sense, I think we need to grieve. I think now if all we do is grieve and we don't take action, then that's not enough. But I do think it's okay to sit in and stay in the grief of this for a moment. I've had a lot of conversations with Christian leaders. We're just heartbroken by some of these things. And it's not so much, you know, that we, you know, we personally were impacted, but the gospel has been hindered. The reputation of the church has been sullied. And so grief is good. I would say anger is appropriate emotion at times. Not, you know, an immoral, irresponsible anger, but to be angry and sin not, where it leads us to make change in the church. And so grief and anger, I think, are appropriate emotions. Let's just not stay there.
Jan, how do you weigh in on this issue of our own hurt feelings and sense of betrayal?
John, I think that's a question for all of us, because while it's not personal, because we don't usually know them individually, but as a whole, it's like, does this Christianity thing really work? If it doesn't work for them, who's it going to work for? Is it going to work for me? And I believe it brings doubts, and I believe it brings, if that person failed so miserably, how on earth is God going to keep me?
Let's hear from Winfred Neely.
I think, honestly, some people might not like it. I think some folk need to lighten up. Okay, you're hurt. The leader blew it. You are not hurt the way that the Lord is hurt. Your heart is not broken the way God's heart is broken. Jesus was betrayed. He gave thanks on the night of his betrayal. So welcome to the club of those who have been betrayed by others. Ask Jesus to help you. Don't get obsessed with this. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Pastor Mark, let's ask you.
I would go back to where our theology is grounded in the church and leaders are imperfect, broken individuals that all have flaws. The only perfect one is Jesus the Christ, who's the head of the church, who is sanctifying his bride. But if you put too much confidence and too much security in leaders, you will be disappointed.
Ron Hutchcraft says, Jesus never said, follow my followers. He said, follow me.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do with our feelings of hurt and betrayal by leaders that we've loved and respected and who have let us down? Dr. Gary Chapman.
I think you share them, first of all, with God. And you see that in the Psalms, you know, where we pour out our heart to God about what we're feeling and what's going on in our hearts and our minds. And then I think if you're in a community and you have close friends in that community, which typically we do, we share our hurt and our pain and our struggle with others. You know, it's grief. Essentially what it is, that's the primary emotion, is grief that we have lost something here. We've lost what we thought was a godly leader. And so we're suffering with grief. And the best way to process grief is to talk about it with someone. You know, sometimes it's a counselor, but sometimes it's just a close friend. And you're both just sharing your heart with each other and what you're going through, and then praying with each other.
We need one another in the body of Christ. Minister to one another, love one another, comfort one another, guide one another, encourage one another.
Thank you, Josh. Our roundtable has given us plenty to ponder, but we're not done yet.
What about hope in all of this? Is it all doom and gloom, or can we actually find good in the ashes of our failures? When Leaders Fall, a special broadcast from Moody Radio, returns in a few moments.
You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and yesterday and today's special was a 55-minute program that the Moody Broadcasting Network recently aired, and I got permission to share it with our radio listening family. And so if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or yesterday or want to hear it again, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen on the Mark and Friends link. Here's the concluding segment on When Leaders Fall.
Have a care of this vain, deceitful world and the lusts of the flesh. Be sure you choose God for your portion, heaven for your home, God's glory for your end, His word for your rule. And then you need never fear, but that we shall meet with comfort. Puritan Richard Baxter.
From Moody Radio, it's the conversation we can't avoid. When Leaders Fall, finding peace as you pick up the pieces. Let's get right back to our roundtable discussion.
It's not possible for one single conversation, even with the roundtable of great Christian voices here, to address all the nuances of When Leaders Fall. And that's why we invite you to our companion resource page at www.whenleadersfall.org. What you'll find is a wide range of blogs, books, podcasts, and more, all from trusted voices and all waiting for you now at www.whenleadersfall.org. Well, let's address the stickiest of questions when it comes to fallen leaders. After a season of discipline, after accountability, after counseling, can these leaders be restored? Your opinion, Pastor Mark.
That's a deep question with a lot of nuances to it. And I do believe that there's always spiritual restoration back to God. I believe that there is no failure that's final before the Lord. So I believe in the redemption of every individual, regardless of what you've done spiritually. However, when it comes back to restoring someone to places of ministry mm-hmm. or the same capacity of ministry, there's a lot of variable factors that are involved in that. And the Bible talks about spiritual leaders, especially if we're talking about leaders of a church, the qualifications of an elder. And part of the qualifications of an elder is to have a good reputation with those that are from the outside. And so I believe that spiritual restoration is available to everyone. Absolutely, yes. Bringing someone back into a position of leadership, depending on their story, their situation, the severity, the length of it, that becomes more complicated.
Jan Silvius, how do you weigh in on this?
I personally, just because I've worked with people for, these many years, once they have fallen in a great fall, I don't think you can reclaim a position of leadership. I really don't. I think the healing route is a long walk in the same direction to come back. And I think it's coming back as a servant, not as a king. I think anybody can be allowed to serve in ministry, truly serve, because that's what ministry is about. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we have made kings. And because we have made kings, I don't think they should ever be able to serve again as a king.
Michael Rydelnik.
I think about Jonah, who got to go to Nineveh, even though he tried to run away. I think of Mark, who abandoned ship, and Paul didn't want to take him back. And yet, at the end of his ministry, Paul says to Timothy, send John Mark. because I have need of him.
Any thoughts on this, Dr. Chapman?
You know, I know that there's disagreement in this among leaders. I guess, you know, my gut level says if you have, like, been a pastor of a church and you have honestly been confronted and have been restored and worked through all of that, I still don't see you going back to that same church and being the pastor. In fact, in my mind, I don't see you being a pastor. It doesn't mean God can't use you, because God can use you. And I know we've got the whole biblical story of David, who blew it big time. And Psalm 51 shows his true repentance, and God continued to use him as the leader of Israel. So I'm not dogmatic on that, and maybe it's each situation has to be, you know, analyzed, and it's in terms of what the failure was, perhaps also. But I think we can't minimize failure. You know, even forgiveness does not remove all the consequences of sin.
It's easy to frame this discussion around envisioned but not spoken names of famous Christians whose failures have been in the headlines. That's not our point. What about those of us who are leaders in our own way? A Sunday school class, an Awana program, maybe just the leader at our home, and we have failed. And this conversation just feels difficult to even listen to. We're feeling guilty. We're feeling messed up. We're not sure God can use us. Where's the hope for us who have failed?
I think always the challenge is to confess our sins. I mean, the Bible's very clear about this. Confess, which means to agree with God that what you've done is wrong. And repent, which means to turn away from. And when we do that, confess our failures and repent and turn back to God, then God forgives us. And if we've sinned against people, we need to then apologize to them, and hopefully they will forgive us. And then we can go from there.
Pastor Mark.
You know, I am a man that's full of hope because I know our Lord. And we are leaders with feet of clay, with weaknesses. As much as I have seen leaders that I thought would never fall, I've also seen very broken people that I thought God would never use rise up, and God use them in some extraordinary ways by his grace and his redemptive power. And so I would say that there is a lot of hope if our hope is in Jesus and not in a person.
Josh McDowell.
Heaven, yes, there's hope. God is a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God, and he's a forgiving God. I believe every person who has fallen, a positive come out of it, that many people have maybe been saved from making the same mistake themselves. I think the Holy Spirit uses situations like that to bear convictions in people's lives, in husbands, wives, in evangelists, in speakers, in pastors, etc. And so we're going to have failure, but he will cause all things to work together for the good.
This hour, we have heard several references to King David and his failures, and rightly so. Let's ask Winfred Neely to share some highlights from David's prayer of confession in Psalm 51.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me with hyssop, that I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Psalm 51.
We're about to do something just a bit different. You've heard a roundtable discussion here, but now let's launch into a roundtable prayer, being led first by Jan Sylvius.
Father, we know that you are our God, and that while these brothers and sisters have fallen, you love them, but you're brokenhearted over them. Bring us that balm of Gilead that will soothe our broken hearts through the hard times, that we would endure and we would press on and not give up because of Jesus.
Dr. Gary Chapman.
Father, I pray also for those individuals, Father, who have been hurt, who have been disillusioned by fallen leaders. Put your arms around them and draw them to yourself in the name of Christ.
Michael Redoni.
Lord, make us sensitive to your Spirit so that we will be quick to confess our sins and move on in obedience to you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus.
Let's be led in prayer now by Ed Stetzer.
Father, I pray that you would help us to see how deeply the world is stained by sin and by wrong and by the fall. Lord, draw us close to you. May our response to this moment be to draw close to Jesus and to follow you and the teachings of the Scripture and how we might respond.
Josh McDowell.
Father, I pray that to everyone listening today, to all these men and women around the round table, that the Holy Spirit will bear conviction in every one of our lives of weaknesses that we have, the strengths, where we need to turn to others for, and where we need to thank you for. So let the Holy Spirit take everyone's voice today and bring about conviction. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Mark Jobe, president of the Moody Bible Institute, would you close our time of prayer?
Father, I pray for men and women right now that are hurting because they have trusted a leader and yet their hearts are broken by the duplicity and moral compromise of leaders. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would restore them, that you would heal them. We pray, Father, for the body of Christ, God. Would you raise up leaders in this generation that walk in purity, in holiness, that fear you? May our hearts be yielded in humility before you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Jobe, and thanks to our entire roundtable for being with us here. We appreciate all the great wisdom that's been shared. As a reminder, our free resource page is whenleadersfall.org. whenleadersfall.org. I'm John Gager. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a Moody Radio special, When Leaders Fall, Finding Peace as You Pick Up the Pieces. Our team includes technical director Chris Seagard with production assistance from Bill Davis. When Leaders Fall is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and I appreciate the Moody Broadcasting Network allowing me to share this special feature with you. It was a 55-minute broadcast that I broke into yesterday in today's edition of Mark and Friends, as I felt it was such an important topic for all of us, not just the leaders that we look up to, but we all lead people somewhere, some way, somehow, through our actions, our words, our attitude, our lifestyle. And so may we all take to heart the important role we have as leading, as modeling, as being that effective disciple of Jesus, pointing people to God. Well, I like the timing of the broadcast. It's kind of interesting, as today we have a board meeting, and I've encouraged the other 11 board members to listen to these 2 days of broadcast, as I think it's so important for this ministry and for all ministries and really for all of us. Special shout out to our board chair, John Jennings. I serve as president. Dr. David Dunn is vice president. Huey Freeman, secretary. And our other board members include Kurt Bobson, Jim Miller, Peggy Meyer, Nancy Miller, Dr. Scott Klein, Ken Rowe, Daryl Kennedy, and Pastor Juan Laredo. I thank the Lord for these godly men and women that serve in the capacity of the Great News Radio Board. I guess now I would say the Great News Media Board, but their love for Jesus, their passion to reach the lost and to equip the saint, and their desire to lift high the name of Jesus makes it a pleasure for me and our ministry team to serve passionately, faithfully, and keeping us on task to educate, edify, and evangelize as our three primary goals and the emphasis of this radio ministry, which includes the Prime Lifetimes publication, the Singing Men of GNN, the Great News Radio Children's Choir, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, our conversational English classes, the various travel and special events that we do, all to the glory of God. And I like how this program closed out with the roundtable members taking their turn in prayer. As we covet, require, request you to be praying and interceding on our behalf so we'll continue to be effective in the days ahead, lifting high the name of Jesus, proclaiming that God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Than ever.